This audio fiction is recorded for an adult audience. It may contain scenes of explicit sex, violence, and disturbing supernatural entities. Listener discretion is recommended.
Come, lend me your ear, as I speak to you of the macabre, the cursed, the maligned, the malignant, the possessed, and the downright demonic. Bolt all doors, lock all windows. Are you alone? Are you sure? I suggest you check under the bed, carefully, twice. Did you check deep in the wardrobe, behind the clothes? Are you in bed yet? Did you turn off the lights? They will come soon. They will follow my voice. But it will also keep them at bay, most of them. For some of you, there is no hope. You know who you are. Prepare to be whisked away to lands ancient and modern, familiar and far away. Prepare to question where fiction ends and fact begins. My name is DJ Swales. This is my horror and gothic horror audio fiction podcast. I'm the author of Baratanak, book one in my Fitzmarbury Witches series. The entire novel series came to me in a dream, waking me at 3 a.m. in a small, bare writing room I'd rented in Bloomsbury, next door to Bob Marley's old apartment. In 2012, I gave up my London job, home, and mothballed all my worldly belongings to embark on 8 nomadic years of travel, risking everything to chase my dream of becoming a writer. But my dream became an obsession. I wrote 5 million words of prose and hundreds of spontaneous poems in decaying cafes, dusty bookshops, and decrepit hotels. During these 8 years, I journeyed from Istanbul to India, from Beverly Hills to Borneo, from St. Petersburg to Peru, but I published nothing until now. My only constant companion on my exhaustive travels, in countless airports, bus terminals, and railway stations, was a large body-sized suitcase called Letitia. Perhaps it was due to the circumstances of my birth, in the midst of sectarian violence in Northern Ireland, and my own family's trauma, that during my years of transience, I was inexplicably drawn to places with dark histories. Could it be because I've called so many brutally scarred locations home? Like Berlin, Singapore, Nicosia, Manila, Seoul, where my home and art studio burned to the ground, and the high plains of West Texas, where I was left for dead, that I can somehow taste the residual, lingering misery of war, turmoil, and grief. On this dark, blood-sodden earth, I have stood endlessly on the same soil, sand, and stone, where many people were extinguished before their time, often in the most grotesque of circumstances, suffering such injustices that their spirits cannot move on. On the wind I heard the moans of trapped souls seeking lost loves. In countless holy places, the prayers of the forgotten faithful still soak every surface and flutter from the walls like the wings of 10,000 moths. My skin prickled as the spirits of the damned crowded closely around me. In my obsessive travels, I ran my hands over the ancient ruins of Baalbek. I stood in the halls of abandoned Armenian monasteries and churches, in the shadow of Mount Ararat. I sought out the greatest of the trees, witnesses to all of man's crimes, placing my hands and ears to their gnarled trunks and gathering their leaves and fallen bark. I followed ghostly footprints in the snow that swirled beneath the cedars of Basho's beloved Koyasan. On the high road to Taos, I heard the ghosts of crying coyotes in an enchanted land once ruled by jaguars. In Goa, stained by the misery of the Inquisition, I dreamt of Nalanda. In Egypt, for so long my second home, I listened to midnight's moonlit silence in the Mamluk mosques of Cairo. I trailed my hands in the waters of the Mother Nile. I watched dust devils dance in the funerary desert temples of dead queens and pharaohs in Thebes. And I descended into the heart of great pyramids, and in tomb robber tunnels, I was surrounded by the bones of noble corpses. I do not doubt that the magic, curses, and broken dreams in each place left an indelible mark on my mind and soul. They have accumulated inside me. Did they infect me or empower me in their yearning to speak of their stories through the dust I inhaled and that still clings to me? But beware, concealed among the dead are other entities. They masquerade as ghosts or lonely spirits, emerging from cracks, crevices, and unholy ruptures. In assorted disguises, they are not as they appear. Pray to your God that they will never reveal their true forms to you. In my journeys, I saw and was seen by many such creatures. They scented the paths I had travelled. I protected myself as best I could, with talismans and prayers. I feel some of these spectres pursue me to this day, approaching me in nightmares and oblique shadows. It was only a matter of time before they began to influence my writing. Episode 17 of the Baratanak podcast. Book 1 of Fitzmarbury Witches. Sect Am Secrets, a Pretender and an Inquisitor. That is of deep comfort, Mistress Most Holy. I was praying you would remember me. I am pleased to answer your prayers, she replied. Though she responded serenely, his comments had jolted her to the core. Even rumours about her origins would have brought significant scandal to her religious order. Proof would have condemned her and then assured her destruction. Sect Am was as notorious as one of the thin places as anywhere on Earth, where humans were barely separated from the underworld, with many contaminated by inhuman denizens and devilries. Thankfully, the commoners of Carthage believed that a noble family had anonymously abandoned her at the gates of the great temple as an offering to Baal. Thereafter, the story went that the temple had decided to keep her, naming her Emishmoon, or She Who Arrives at Night, and raised her in one of its charitable orphanages. Bets were placed on whether her natural skills would prove to be those of a holy warrior of the faith, or a diligent cleric. Without allegiance to family or clan, such individuals lay at the heart of Baal's priesthood. The sand-skinned, raven-haired girl with crystal eyes, a sign of Sect Am, would prove to be one of those rarities that excelled in both paths, so all wages were cancelled. Throughout her childhood and priestly tutoring, she had been whipped and punished with hard labour whenever traces of Sect Am's guttural dialect slipped from between her lips, or when her charcoal scrawled the shapes of the Oasis City's funerary scripts used there for even everyday purposes. In honesty, I do not remember your eyes being quite so black, nor their whites being quite so yellowed and bloodshot, said Emishmoon, probing yet still maintaining the ruse that she had recognised him. You have the look of somebody labouring under intense bewitchments. The merchant explained, I am staying near the leather tanneries. Those acids and, indeed, even the noxious vapours from the piss and pigeon shit are terrible irritants. What trials you suffer in our city of wonders! But those very same vile effluviums do keep away the mosquitoes and their fevers. Yes, even the worst toxins can have positive repercussions, but it is of no benefit to me, he replied. Bloodsuckers have not shown interest in my veins for some time. The priestess raised an eyebrow at his response. A guileful mind, she thought, even for an astute haggler. She ground her teeth with concealed discomfort as her paranoia swelled. Too much of my history falls from his lips. His cloaked approach feels like that of other opportunists who are biding their time. He means to attempt blackmail. He is welcome to try. Emishman's thoughts ran to the boyishly shaved face of another extortionist from the time she had just gained regular access to the temple treasury. An Egyptian mercenary who had stalked her outside the temple, even when she was purposely disguised as a stumbling old crone to catch up on market gossip. Sister, I am your long-lost older brother, he had claimed when she confronted him. Also birthed in the sacred waters of Amun, he hissed the last words like some clandestine spy. When he lunged forward, opening his arms to hug her, young Emishmoon deftly stepped aside, leaving him to sprawl to the floor. Oh, brother, I am sorry, she said as she helped him up. I thought you might be a leper looking to heal by laying hands on my holy body. I do not like to be touched. She studiously appraised his eyes and nose. They match mine perfectly, she thought. So does the mottling around his nipples. She feigned eagerness to know him while ascertaining the risk he posed. Will he expose the nature and location of my birth? She endured a host of his boorish confidences, all whispered in his grating Theban accent, the same city that launched the doomed Persian army of 50,000 soldiers that had marched on Sect Am. When he insisted he could speak easier on a full stomach, she bought him 3 generous ladles of whale meat stew. It was over an overindulgent dessert of fresh cherries and sour goat cream that he pressed her to provide him with a regular stipend. As properly befits the family of a priestess of Baal and my sister from Sect Am, he reasoned. His eyes twinkled with mischief as Emishmoon wished them dead, dulled and sunken. Shortly afterwards, the mercenary disappeared, never to be seen again lingering outside the temple gates. 2 days later, on the holy day of the Ibis, Emishmoon went among the people disguised as a veiled beekeeper. In the market she heard tell of how a finger had been found in one of the meat puddings shared with the poor that morning. A ring of Amun was still on it, said a man grilling goat's heads. How fortuitous, said an argan oil vendor. Was it gold? Fool's gold, replied the man. He sniggered, turning the heads on his grill. The goats grinned in hideous concurrence, their lips seared away. Her second inquisitor had been her muscular Ionian tutor at the temple gymnasium. The handsome man specialised in the local martial arts, and Kalaripayattu, a fighting system brought by elephant mahouts from faraway India. After she forcefully spurned his advances, breaking his thumbs in the process, his wounded pride decided to quietly investigate his student's roots. His curiosity and desire for vengeance was nourished by the strange dialect of the expletives she cried out during swordsmanship classes. Her classmates had also complained to him that her words stabbed their ears and had even made their noses bleed. Tragically, after pursuing Emishmoon one too many times for answers, the dashing tutor was found roasted and fused to the hot rocks of his sweat chamber. His gullet and anus had been stuffed with Ayurvedic oil-soaked cloth, then set on fire. Before death, he had bled from demonic symbols that had been carved into his back, buttocks, and the soles of his feet. "And now a third curious mind," she thought, sighing to herself. "How will I dispatch this one, I wonder? The mandrills, that's it, I will set them on him." They were in the wrong quarter of the temple for the simple task of slitting his throat to be seen as mere ceremony, and he was too old to feed to the Tophet ovens. She flexed the steely muscles of her thighs against the straps of her concealed daggers. For now he would live, while she feigned a slow and partial recognition of him. "Now," said the merchant, "I do hope we may speak in trust." "In trust," she responded, engaged in a verbal dance of cordiality. "Well, of course you may confide away, in confidence." "Thank you, priestess," said the merchant, lowering his turbaned head. "By the beard of Baal, where do I know this blasted beggar from?" she wondered. "And how convoluted will his conversation be before he divulges the price of his silence?" Fleeting recollections of the merchant teased from the back of the priestess's mind. She called them, but they dissolved. "Surely it will come to me," she thought. "Is he among the innumerable men I have had to claw my way past, up through Baal's hierarchy? Some lived, some had to die. Perhaps this is one to whom I mistakenly once showed mercy." Listening. If you have enjoyed this episode, then please subscribe. I must leave you now, but do not despair. If you listen to the next installment, the curse cannot harm you, but you must believe. Now pull the blanket over your head and be quiet. You are not alone. Shh.